So, you've got distraction on one hand, and you've got the cosmic joke on the other hand. And the two of them seem to go together to make unhappiness. Now, the cosmic joke doesn't make you unhappy. The opposite of it, being serious. But it's hard to talk about the seriousness of life. The seriousness of life is only really put in context when you get the cosmic joke. Now, what's the cosmic joke? I hope you're not asking that, because if you are, I probably won't be able to explain it to you. I'm pretty sure of that because I remember teaching a craniosacral class one time, and I happened to mention the cosmic joke. It just came up in relation to the paradoxes that come up in treating people and the reasons people get sick and how they get better. And everybody laughed, and except one person. And this one person was like, "What's the cosmic joke?" And I started to explain, and about an awkward hour later, they still hadn't got a clue. Everybody was just felt shit, and it was like we all had this joke that we were getting and they weren't getting. Yeah, it didn't go well. So I'm hoping you get the... Maybe it'll be a bit clearer by the time I'm finished, but based on that experience, I'm not so sure. So, distraction, cosmic joke. And the distraction is linked to the seriousness of life and how the current modern life seems to be built on a kind of momentum of just doing stuff, having to do stuff, which can distract you quite easily from the fact that unhappiness is all the time trying to creep in. And the sort of distractions I mean are, you know, just like when you wake up in the morning, there's so much shit to do. Like, there's so many things to do, from showering and going to the bathroom and dressing and cooking and eating and leaving the house if you go to a job, and you know, it just goes on and on and on. And what am I going to do tonight? And where are we going to go at the weekend? And what am I going to do on my holidays? And what am I doing with my life? And do I want to go to that pub or not? Or will I go and hang out with these people or not? Or, well, maybe I'll go and see that movie, and I really should do my grass, cut my grass, or I should do this DIY thing in the house, or I've got to clean. There's cleaning. Jesus, cleaning. It's never ending, cleaning. You have to just, you know, every time you use anything, you have to clean it. Just seems like so much stuff. And striving and trying to achieve and not even get ahead, sometimes just stay afloat. And all the time, you know, it takes up huge brain time and stops you from noticing that there's an undercurrent of just not happy. Just covers over joyousness, just covers it over a little bit or a lot. So, you know, I've got time to... I don't fucking know if I'm joyous or not. I haven't got time. I've got to brush my teeth. I've got to, you know, go and put the washing on, or I've got to go and wash the car, or do my taxes, or organize the program, the telly. What am I going to record? If I don't do it, I won't be there when I come back tonight. Oh, shit, you know, all that stuff. I haven't got time to worry about whether I'm joyous or not. You know, I'm stuck in traffic. I'm stuck in traffic. Now I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late to where I'm supposed to be going. And I haven't got time to look out the window and look at the trees and see the sunlight coming through the trees. I haven't got time for that because I've got to think about what I'm going to say to my boss. What bullshit excuse am I going to make up that I'm late? So all the time drumming away in the background. And the cosmic joke part of it is that we're going to be dead. I'm going to be dead soon. Sooner, way sooner than I think. It's going to come up. It's coming up fast. For everybody, it looks like. And even, like, you know, like, I'm 50 now, so even if medical advances are brilliant and I live to be 120, that's only 70 years. Like, the last 50 went by pretty fast. Some parts didn't feel like they were going that fast, but now when I look back, it's like, what, 50 already? And, like, it's funny when you think about it like that. And yet, oh no, I've got a very serious life. Everything is very... I got to program that DVR or what the, you know, if I miss my favorite show, that's going to be fucking serious. The hilarious thing is that if you projected that forward, they're going to be the most fantastic shows in 80 years, and I'll probably miss them. And, like, life doesn't give a crap about that. It's just going to keep going. But even pulling that back into more personal experience, and the hilarious thing is that you could say I die every night. You know, I go to bed about to go to sleep, and I've got, well, what am I going to do tomorrow? I've got to do this thing, and I've got to do that thing. I've got, that's what my mind wants to do anyway. I've got to think about all this stuff tomorrow. You know, the weekend's coming up. I definitely have a good weekend this weekend. I'm going to enjoy myself a lot more because last weekend was shit, and I did all this stuff I didn't want to do, and I spent the whole weekend cleaning the whatever or doing the mowing the lawn or this weekend's going to be brilliant. Missing the fact that I'm about to disappear. I'm about to drop off into the abyss and drop off into the mystery, into this deep emptiness where I cease to exist. No, I'm not thinking about that at all. I'm thinking about, now I must wake up on time tomorrow because I don't want to be fucking late again. And like, when you put it like that, it's hilarious. But, and that's the cosmic joke. That's part of the cosmic joke, is we take things so, our lives so seriously. And we think we're so important. And it's true, we are important. We're particularly important to ourselves. I'm the most important person to myself. Of course I am, because it's me all the time. There isn't anybody else. I mean, you'd be caring and compassionate about other people. But I think if you're really honest, like, you're the person you think about the most. You're the person you talk to the most, probably. You spend the most time with yourself. So it's understandable that you would start to think that you're really important, and you are, but then you also aren't, even to yourself, because it's not like, you know, at night time you're going, oh god, I'm not going to bed, I am so important, I don't want to miss, I'll miss me too much when I'm gone. I don't want to get into bed and go to sleep, because it'll be terrible when I disappear, when I'm no longer here. No, we're not like that at all. We're diving into bed. Oh, bed, my favorite place in the world. I can't wait to go to sleep. I'm exhausted, you know? And what are we exhausted from? We're exhausted from all this fucking seriousness, taking our lives so seriously, that it's, when it's obviously not serious. Like, I'm talking to you here. You've seen that movie Donnie Darko. It's good. It's good just for that one scene where I don't want to ruin it for anybody. So I'll talk about a different movie where a different thing happens to somebody else, where something just falls out of the sky and just kills the person flat out. It's almost like the hand of God coming down and squashing you like an ant. Now, I'm not saying that sounds a bit cruel, but life can be very arbitrary like that. And you have to look around and go, God, that could have been me. That person who got killed so seemingly arbitrarily, that could have been me. And you can get all like cosmic about it and go, oh no, it wasn't my life's plan and blah, blah, blah. But you don't know what your life's plan is until you're looking backwards and going, oh, that's what my life plan was. I mean, anyone who's kind of telling you, oh no, I've seen the future, I know what's going to happen. I mean, mystically, no. Quantum physics? No. It's all possibility. It's like traveling down a road, and at each step forward, there's a gazillion possibilities that could happen, and there's only one that does happen, but they all could happen until the next one does happen, and then so on and so on. So what's going to happen? You don't know. I don't know. But looking around, it's all very arbitrary, yet we're taking it all very seriously, taking all this stuff that we're doing. And when you get those moments when, particularly if there's one issue that you're particularly worried about, let's say you're really worried about money, and you're worrying about it, and you're worrying about it, and you're worrying about it, and you get so into it, right, and you drive yourself nuts, fixating on it, trying to solve this unsolvable problem, and then something happens where you just snap, something snaps on the inside, and you can't worry about it anymore, and you just go, fuck it. You know, there's a whole therapy called fuck it therapy. This guy and his wife over in Italy, they run retreats all about fuck it. And it's their whole thing, and they're onto something. It's definitely right. This release that comes when you just go, fuck it. Say it now, fuck it. But if you have your own kind of personal fuck it moment where it just breaks and you can't worry about it anymore and you just become easy, a little bit easier. Or the kind of classic cliched one is the funeral. If you've ever seen Steel Magnolias, great example of it. It's this scene where Julia Roberts, she plays this lovely character, and her mother, and she gets sick, and all her mother's friends are rooting for her to get better, but she dies. And it's gutting. You're watching this movie, and it's just heartbreaking that Julia Roberts' character dies, and Sally Field is her mother, and they're after, she's just after burying her, and she walks off into the graveyard to be by herself, and her friends follow her. Shirley MacLaine is one of her friends, and Olivia Dukakis is another, and they're always kind of having a go at each other. And there's this huge scene where Sally Field's character, the mother, who's been holding it together throughout the whole daughter's sickness and her whole life, because her daughter had been, I think she had one kidney or something, her whole life. So it's not just a short period of illness, it's her whole life she's been trying to take care of her, and now she's died. And all the frustration and grief and genuine heartbreak just spills out of her. Great performance from Sally Field. I don't know if she got an Oscar for it, but if she didn't, she should. And it's so awful and so heartbreaking. And Olivia Dukakis grabs Shirley Temple Shirley MacLaine, and pushes her to the forward and says, hit Louisa, or Louisa, I think is her name. Hit her. And like, it completely breaks it, because Sally Field is like, huh? And she goes, hit her, take it out on her, you know? And it's hilarious, you know? She's basically, you know, use this woman I don't like too much anyway. Well, you know, I like taking the piss out of. Use her, why don't you hit her? You'll feel a lot better. Yeah, give her a good one. And it just breaks it. And they all fall around the place laughing. And me watching the film, I'm falling around the place laughing too. And that's like the cosmic joke in action, because it's like, what do you do in the face of this, like, life? That's full of so much uncertainty and so much heartbreak and so much terrible things that you can't control, that you can't. You can think you can control it, but you can't really control it. I live in Ireland at the moment, and I've been here through the whole Celtic Tiger. Not through the whole Celtic Tiger. I arrived just at the in 2006, so 2007 is when the Celtic Tiger crashed or died or whatever, or got lost. And it's just been like serious recession here. And the number of people who've lost everything, you throw a stone down the road and you'll hit everybody that you hit has been affected. Everybody has been affected in one way or another. Some people have lost everything. And you talk to them pre it all happened, and they were like, yeah, okay, I know what I'm doing. I'm the property developer, or I've set up a business and I'm super successful. You know, I used to watch like Dragon's Den, you know, and listen to these people talking about business like they invented it. The level of confidence was really high. And it was all based on, well, I've become very successful. I'm making loads of money. A lot of people have just crashed so hard to their knees. And then, you know, they were crashed to their knees. Then they were kicked in the balls. And then they fell over. And then they were stomped on a few times. And now the real unpredictability of life and the lack of genuine lack of security, it's really obvious, you know. So what do you do? What do you do, like, in the face of that? When you wake up every morning and kind of like, okay, I'm going to get up and do what? What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to like stand and stare at the stark uncertainty of life, and that an airplane jet engine could fall through the ceiling and kill me, or a million and one things could happen, and I don't know what the fuck to do in my life. I don't know how to make it work. You can't face that. It's too hard to face. So it's like, well, I'll invent some shit to believe that it's like is important. I'll invent some stuff that I don't want to think about that too much. I don't want to think about the uncertainty and all that too much, because it's too hard. So I'm just going to believe all this stuff is really serious. I'm going to get wrapped up in that. And that's okay. That's understandable. But the thing is that it's very easy to miss with all this distraction that's going on, with all the toothpaste that needs to be bought and the pots that need to be turned off on the stove and the tires, air pressure in the tires that need to be checked, and the million and one other fucking things that need to be done. It's very easy to miss that the joy is gone. Well, I haven't got time for it. No, you have got time for it. No, I don't have time for it. I've got to check the air pressure in my tires. I haven't got time to do that. But the thing is that life will end. You'll be on your deathbed. You've got to be on your deathbed before you know where you are. And then, you know, they've done it. They've asked people the classic five things that people who are dying regret they didn't do. And it's not like, I regret I didn't check the air pressure in my tires more often. I regret I didn't program my DVR more carefully. I regret all the pots that I let burn on the stove. No, none of that stuff. It's all, you know, smell the roses. You know, well, yes, roses are nice. They're the nice smell. But it's, I don't like that phrase, because it's so fucking hippy dippy. It's like joy. Isn't it about joy? It's like, yeah, smelling the roses is nice, but fuck the roses. I'd rather have the joy. I'd rather kind of have the presence of mind and to be able to get the cosmic joke of I'm gonna die. I die every night. None of this stuff is that serious. None of this stuff is that serious. What is really serious is missing the joy. Because joy doesn't exist in the world. You have to bring it into the world. That's kind of what you're here for, is to bring it into the world. It doesn't exist naturally. It doesn't. The only place it exists is in us. I don't see it anywhere else. I don't see it in nature or animals. Or I can see energy. Like, it's, I live in the country, so it's lambing time at the moment. So there's a ton of lambs in the fields with their mothers. I can't go and pick the lamb up and shake the lamb and go, yep, there's joy in there, I can feel it. So it seems to me that one of the things that I bring, humans bring, into existence is joy. It comes up inside me and then out of me. Whereas everything else seems to go the other way. When I'm in existence, I'm consuming it. Eating the food, inhaling the air. Visually, I'm consuming all this beauty, information. I'm listening. All my senses are sucking it all in, all the time, that I'm awake or that I'm here. Whereas joy and its close friend or byproduct, laughter, that comes from inside me into existence. So does singing and passion and art and creativity and all that kind of stuff. But I think joy and being comfortable with, because part of humor, I think, is the paradox. It's the two opposing things that make things funny and that make it inexplicably funny. Like, there's a story that I tell in my book, Maya Noise. And it's every time I only have to think about this incident and I start smiling. And I love telling this story, right? I love telling this story because it's really funny to me. And to me, it perfectly represents those two opposing things I'm talking about. And this thing about seriousness and the cosmic joke. And it was, I used to go to Barry Long. I used to go see Barry Long a lot. And he was my spiritual master. And he was very serious, very serious chap. And his teaching was very serious and everything was very serious. And one of the things in his teaching was about men and women. And making love. You couldn't say sex. Well, you could say sex, but it's a different thing. But you couldn't say having sex. Making love. Very serious. You had to get the words right. Barry was very strict on the words. And he used to hold meetings. And he had this big meeting every year in Australia called the Master Session. It was a 3-week long thing, right? And because it was in Australia, and weather permitted, it was in a big marquee. Because people used to come from all over the world to this thing. It's about 200 or 300 people would come to this thing. And Barry was very graphic in the way he talked about lovemaking. And he talked about the penis and he talked about the vagina. And he was right in there with the descriptions. So you kind of get used to that. And it's not a big deal. And part of the way the meetings would go is people would ask him questions from the crowd, you know. So they'd stand up and they'd, Barry, I'm having this problem with this thing and whatever. And a lot of the questions were about relationships. And lovemaking. And again, you're going to get used to it. And it's, you know, relationships are, people take them very seriously. And rightly so, in a way. Because they're talking about their love life and emotions are very closely linked. And so you hear these people talking about the difficulties they're having together. You know, two nice people, they're just having trouble. And you're hard to go out with them. I mean, there's like endless TV shows that are based on this. One end of the spectrum to the other where people are screaming at each other to just generally trying to work it out. Anyway, so this guy gets up one day and it's all very serious and reverential and holy. And he basically is saying that he's just saying he finds sex a bit icky. He finds it a bit uncomfortable. He's not completely comfortable with the whole thing, right? And yeah, I probably heard similar kind of things from men and women, okay? The really funny thing was, he was from Germany or Austria or somewhere like that. He sounded a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And whenever he said the word vagina, he didn't say vagina, he said vagina, right? Which, I mean, it's so, like, I crack up watching people, you know, those shows where they watch people, you know, bouncing on trampolines and bouncing off. And like, I'm a craniosacral therapist. I know the effect trauma has on the body, and it still cracks me up. It's still like slapstick. Why is it funny? I don't know. That's terrible. I wouldn't hit a person with the plank. But if I watch a person, you know, steps on a plank and they hit themselves and I don't know why, but it just makes me laugh. And I'm not on my own. So this poor man, his heartfelt telling Barry about this problem that he's got, loving his partner's vagina. And I am like dying. Try not to laugh. Barry, I cannot love my partner's vagina. I love her vagina. He kept saying, he wouldn't stop fucking saying it. Right, so there, to me, that epitomizes the cosmic joke, because the guy is so earnest. I am earnest for him too. I really want him to love his partner's vagina properly, or whatever the fuck way he wants to, but it's so funny. And the funny thing is, the funniest part of it was nobody's laughing. And no, of course no one's laughing, because we don't want to mock the poor fella. But I don't even see anyone cracking a smile, whereas I'm like, oh God, please stop. I'm gonna explode. I'm going to implode. Because it's so funny. So, I think getting the cosmic joke is important, but I think living the fucking cosmic joke is even more important. Everybody loves quoting the Leonard Cohen song, where he's saying, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. You know, it's all very profound. And it's a lovely song and everything. But I think the crack is in Ireland, actually. Everyone talks about the crack. And they're not talking about crack cocaine. They're talking about fun, you know, like having the crack. And so I had never thought about this, but that crack, maybe the crack that Leonard Cohen is talking about is the crack that we all have in Ireland and everywhere else in the world. And that's where the light gets in, is in the moments where the fucking seriousness of life cracks a bit, and the light is a bit of laughter and a bit of humor, and like, yeah, we're all going to be fucking dead. It's all, you know, none of this matters. Sure, we're all going to be dead in a couple of hours because we're all going to be fast asleep. None of this will be here. And wherever we go to, is better, and we know it's better, because when we come back and we wake up in the morning, we're like, oh, I had such a great sleep last night, I feel fantastic, or whatever. And if we didn't have a good sleep, it's like, oh, I feel like shit this morning, I didn't have a good sleep, and I didn't have a good sleep, terrible, and we're can't wait to go to bed tonight to have a good sleep. So, distraction, cosmic joke, distraction covering over the main job of life, which is bringing joy in. Not like you've got to be fucking super happy. God, often people use that super happy bullshit to cover up a multitude of stuff. You've probably met people who are so smiley and happy and upbeat. You just know that there's like, it's all just a front. It's all just trying to cover over stuff. I'm not talking about that kind of Ronald McDonald kind of happiness. I'm talking about genuine joy. The stuff that makes you smile on the inside. That stuff is important. That's the rose. That's the rose that those people who were interviewed when they were close to dying and said they didn't stop and smell the roses. The rose is the fucking smile on the inside, your smile that makes the corners of your mouth just turn up a little bit. And you ease, you get this sense of ease of like, man, none of this stuff is that important. It's not so important that I get all tight and wound up and forget the joy. I have the wellspring of the joy inside me. I'm the one, I'm it, I'm the resource. It doesn't exist out here. It exists in me. The only place it comes from is inside me. That's kind of my job here in existence, is to be the joy, is to let it come up. Not happy, happy, joy, joy. Just my fucking joy. The joy. My fucking joy. The joy I feel on the inside. For myself. Okay. All right. Enough of that. Now, have you looked at my... Have you looked at my website at the priceless art thing? It's brilliant. It's part of the gift economy. If you haven't, have a look. johndalton.me/shop. Look at my fantastic, lovely images. They're not paintings, but some of them look like paintings. And get the whole idea of the gift economy. It's coming, it's growing, you should get on board. Not necessarily with my thing, but just generally. Look at Impossible, the app, that's all part of it. But anyway, look at my stuff. Particularly if you're so enjoying these podcasts and you just been dying for a way to send me some money. As Rich Hall, I think I was talking about Rich Hall earlier on, he used to say, he was talking about writing this song, he was saying my girlfriend broke up with me and I was lying on the ground and I was just trying to think how I could take all this heartbreak and sadness and turn it into some cold hard cash. Okay, that's not what the gift economy is about. But if you enjoy the podcast and you're inclined to, you're going to go, oh, as I've often done this myself, oh, I'd love to do something. Well, you can get a little bit of one of the things I do, which is make these lovely, lovely images. Canvas, they're beautiful. Go and look at them. And yeah, if you haven't already left a review for the podcast, that would be great too, on iTunes. I know it's a pain. It's a complete pain. I've had a number of people say to me, how do you do it? And I have to explain. Jesus, iTunes don't make it easy to leave reviews. But anyway, if you do, it helps boost the old podcast, spread the word, spread the joy, spread the love. Okay, and on that note, I'm going to go. Bye-bye. Baddy, I cannot love my partners, but I'm not even, that's a terrible German accent. Baddy, I really want to love my, now what the fuck is that? I can't do it now. Baddy, I cannot love my partner's vagina. We are the